Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 111. There is an awakening. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, we have the Embo to my Cad Bane. We have Carl LeClaire.
Oh, hey, Jason.
Hey, Carl.
That was me trying to do Embo.
I noticed.
And I noticed it wasn't very good. And just for the record, everybody, I proposed the title, Shut up, Joe. You're not even in here yet. So anyway, before I screw this up, we are joined by our tag-along guest host, Joe Hogan.
The unofficial third member.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
It's always mediocre.
It's Joe.
It's Joe Hogan.
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
People are kind of just like, whatever with him.
Fine. This jerk's back. Teasing a tickling, right?
Teasing a tickling. Yeah, that was going to be
that. That was the original name.
Tickling
of
a
Carl.
Tease.
Yeah, tickling a tease was going to be the original episode of this, the original title of this episode that I came up with. But Joe and
Jason. Then I watched the trailer again, and I was like, he says something like, "There is an awakening." I think we should use that.
Jason said, "You know what, Carl? Anything is better than the idea that you had. Let's go with the next trailer."
And of course, as Steve Lawson is fond of saying, "I am the podcast." So, do it now. But anyways, we have something exciting to talk about. So let's stop dilly-dallying and get to it. We have a trailer for episode 7.
Woo!
Super early, too, by the way, everybody. Right? Like, are you guys... Let's just respond to the fact that it's a year from now. Over a year away is episode 7, and we already have a teaser. I mean, gauge that for yourselves real quick.
Okay, first of all, that bugs me because I want to see this movie now. Second of all, God, that's a long time to wait. And third, is it 2015 yet?
Not soon enough.
This is why I was wishing that they were going to wait to give us the teaser until after the first of the year sometime. Because I'm now shocked. It's just torture.
I figured they were going to give it to us at Anaheim. I figured Celebration would be the first real reveal. Because it's over a year. I mean, Jurassic Park is what, next summer? And we just got the teaser for that. This is several months later, and we got the teaser for this like 2 days after Jurassic World.
You know what? I think it's so early. It's really impressive that they have this much stuff filmed already. I think that's what's really impressive too. You know? I mean, we're seeing completed shots. You know, it's not just like zoom ins of characters' faces and that's it. Like, we have some CGI shots already.
Also, the thing is, so much of this is done practically. Like, maybe there's just not as much as there would normally be for the, you know, for example, for like the prequels, like principal photography, when that wrapped, all that footage was a couple of actors with blue screen.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, they're filming, you know, the opening shot of this trailer is a dude standing in the desert. They probably didn't have to do that much to it. You know what
right.
I mean? So, like, there's more practical shots that, you know, there's very little they actually have to composite into the shot. So, yeah.
Although that's probably the only shot that there isn't any CGI in.
That's probably true, now that I think of it. Or maybe the stormtroopers.
No, that's true. That's true. But anyway, holy crap, it's exciting. It's an awesome teaser. And they gave us absolutely nothing to go on, almost, which is their shtick. But I'm excited. I'm super excited and kind of annoyed that it's this early.
Really that annoyed, though? Like, aren't you more excited than you are annoyed, though?
I'm just annoyed that I have to wait so long to get more of it. But anyways,
let's...
Initial thoughts, everybody. Let's go around. What did you think? This is totally disorganized because we're just like in shock.
Yeah. You know, real quick, I'm going to preface with the fact that so this afternoon. Okay. Let me back up. Beep beep beep. That was the sound of a truck.
Back. Yeah, that was.
Shut up, Joe. This is the most disorganized podcast we've ever done. But so this last night, yeah, right. Yesterday was Thanksgiving, right? Like the day we give thanks and all that.
Yes.
And I got home really late last night, and like it was well after midnight, and I'm like scouring the internet, right, trying to find this trailer because I was like, oh, it's technically Friday now, so maybe it's up. And I
just know that they do that according to Pacific time because that's the last time zone.
Oh, good point, Jason.
It wasn't up then either, though, because I was up.
No, it wasn't. Right.
I was up until 3 a.m. Eastern time for that reason.
Okay. But yeah, so anyway, like it didn't go up last night, which is fine. And then, you know, this morning I get up and I'm like, it's the first thing I do when I get up this morning. I get up and look on the internet to see if this trailer's up. And it wasn't right away when I got up. And then I saw it, the Rebels podcast, you know, Cohen and Cranky had it up on their site that it was up. So I was supposed to wait and watch it with Joe Hogan for the first time and who's on the show. I was like, no way. I'm waiting for this guy. He sleeps till like 3 o'clock every day. I'm not waiting on him. And so I watched it and just was like, wow, that's amazing. This is so, so cool. And, you know, my initial response was, first off, I can't believe we're getting this already. I mean, like we were just saying, I mean, it's over a year away and we've already got a teaser. So, and even backing up to a few episodes ago when we were talking about the title of the film, I mean, Jason and I both expressed pretty clearly that we were shocked that we already have a title for the film. I mean, it's happening so quickly. I was really shocked by that, you know, the fact that we already had it, and then it was just so amazing. I loved every second of it because it was so different. I didn't know who anybody was I was seeing. It was Star Wars, but it was totally foreign to any Star Wars I knew, right? Like there was nothing in that I was familiar with until I saw the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely foreign, and yet it all fits.
Yeah. What'd you think, Joe?
I don't totally agree because I feel like there was enough imagery before the Falcon. So you had the stormtroopers, you had the desert, you had all these, you know, the little hamster ball R2 unit had an R2 mini head on it that looked like an astromech head. There was enough there that was familiar. I wouldn't say foreign, more new than foreign. So it felt familiar and it also felt fresh for me. Not so much like I wasn't too jarred by anything. Nothing was really too plus the X-Wings, like, come on. Like, it felt, that was the best part, though. Like, it felt like Star Wars from the first shot to the end. It felt like Star Wars, even though it was all brand new stuff. Nothing really felt out of place for me. And I think my one, if I'm going to go with one takeaway from this trailer, it's, I'm so happy they didn't reveal any actual, like, story. Because it's so early. I don't want to know too much to begin with going into this. And in comparison to the Revenge of the Sith first teaser that we got, we kind of already knew where that was going to be going. So when they reveal that teaser, like, there was a little bit more story elements to that. So I didn't really know what to expect with this one since we really had no idea where this was going to go. And I'm really happy that they didn't ruin anything, but they still gave us enough to reassure us that, guys, this is Star Wars. This is going to feel like Star Wars. Here's why. And that's all we're giving you right now. So.
Oh, man. I first saw it on my phone because I was sitting at the car shop with my car getting a leak fixed. So that was delightful. And so I watched it like twice on my phone and then was like, I got to go back and watch this on my laptop where it's bigger and I can see it better. And so as soon as my car was done, I drove home, popped open my laptop, and watched it about two more times right then and there. And it was amazing. It's great. I love it. And the only thing that I'm still not sure about is that lightsaber or saber, whatever it is, because I don't think it's quite a lightsaber, because it sort of pulsates and sort of electrified or got some, it's like an energy saber of sorts. And the only thing is I'm not sure what I think about the little cross guards there on it. I'd have to see it in action and see what they do with it other than just like turning it on and showing it off. Because I thought that design was a little silly when it was sort of leaked. And so I'm not sure what I think about that yet. Mm. But other than that, I swear, it's incredible. The X-Wings look great, and that little beach ball droid is my favorite thing.
Of course it is. The soccer ball droid?
Yeah. Wilson from Castaway Lives.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a cross. This episode 7 is really just a crossover between Castaway and Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I think Joe and I were talking about this earlier, and the lightsaber with, you know, this kind of unique little hilt to it, right? With the, it's like, I mean, it's basically a broadsword lightsaber. And, you know, when I saw that leaked picture a while ago, I thought it was awesome, and I still think it's awesome. Is it a little bit like kind of campy? Sure. But is it awesome? Yeah. Hell yeah. I think it's cooler than the frickin' double-bladed lightsaber that Darth Maul has. It's more practical. I don't know. Like, it's cool because it's so different, right? Like, we've seen the same kind of lightsaber for 30, 40 years now. And it's really cool to get something different. And it makes sense to get something different because this is a whole new era of Star Wars. And I love the fact that it's, you know, you made a good point, Jason. I don't know if it's a lightsaber technically. It doesn't look like your typical lightsaber. The blade, to me, it looks like a lightning almost. There's like a pulsation to it. It's so cool. It's so different. Like, I don't know, like that was probably, it was my second favorite part of the trailer was when we saw that scene. Because that's clearly the new villain.
Right. And let me clarify, as far as the saber is concerned, I don't dislike it. I just don't know what to think about it.
Sure.
It hasn't won me over yet. And I'm open to accepting it. I'm open to loving it. I need to see more. So.
Well, Joe, you made a good point when we were chatting about it earlier about how you think it might reveal something from the story later, right?
I mean, not so much the story. It's just kind of a, to me, it's a little bit of a telegraph of something that's going to happen during a duel or whatever. Because Jason, like you were saying, those tiny blades are essentially going to be cross guards. So that to me says, okay, if they're putting that in the design of it, it's going to be there for a reason. So when he's dueling somebody later, chances are they're going to have a moment where if those weren't there, it would cut his hand off and they're going to draw attention to it. And it's going to be like, that's going to be the purpose of those things. So I would have liked that a lot. And here I am. I was just excited and saying like, oh, you know, they didn't spoil anything in this trailer. They just showed us stuff. But I feel like that was kind of spoiled because now I see that coming. And now if that happens, I'm going to be upset. If they didn't show that in the teaser and then like all of a sudden when he goes to fight somebody, those things pop out and then it's like part of the fight, I wouldn't have thought about it before it happened in the fight. But now that we have a year to think about it, like, I mean, it's only been a couple of hours or whatever, but like that thought came to mind and now I'm kind of like, oh, whatever. As for the fact of it being a lightsaber, I think it is a lightsaber. I kind of get the impression that it's like an ancient lightsaber because the design is like medieval inspired because of that broadsword. So maybe it's like an older one because like you guys said, like the, it sounds a little bit different and the blade is just like the consistency isn't quite this as elegant as a typical lightsaber. So this guy, this villain might be, you know, an ancient whatever. I mean, Dark Jedi, Sith, whatever the villain's going to be. That is awakening because, I mean, what's awakening? The dark side and the light side. So maybe this dude is awakening on the dark side, you know? So maybe that has to do with that, and that's why the weapon looks so different from what we're used to seeing lightsaber-wise.
I agree. But you sort of brought it up. Why don't we talk about the voiceover real quick? Because there were some things said in there that were really interesting. First of all, I think it's Max von Sydow. I've seen that bandied about on the internet. People think it's Max von Sydow saying it, which possible, but who knows? I mean, there's definitely effects on the voice, so it could be just about anybody.
I thought it was George Lucas.
George Lucas? That's,
wait, it wasn't Ahmed Best?
We should think there's an awakening.
There's an awakening. There's a dark side and there's a light side. But that was the most interesting part of the voiceover to me, is that he says there's an awakening, the dark and the light. And so I was like, that makes things very interesting, because it's not going to be like definitely one side of one way or the other going into this thing. It gives me the idea that at this point in the game, nobody really knows who's going to, you know, which side's going to win out. And I don't think either of them are overmatched over the other. So, but what do you think about the voiceover stuff?
I thought it was great. You know, it was, so I read like a lot of spoilers and stuff before the trailer actually came out. And there's some things from the spoilers that were definitely in there. And there were some things that were definitely like, they were definitely wrong about. And the voiceover stuff that I read about from the spoilers, was far more minimal. I loved that voiceover. I thought it was great. You know, to start off with, there is an awakening. Do you feel it? You know, that was so cool. That's such a great line. And, you know, clearly something is going on that is just going to cause all sorts of commotion. You know, you can almost speculate the fact that there's been almost, you know, it's been 30 years since Return of the Jedi. It's been a time of relative peace, you can assume, to some degree. But something is going on worth telling you again, right? Like, when anybody tells you a story, it's because there's something of significance within that story. So something must have happened. Something is stirring something up that's worth telling us about. And I thought that was really cool, you know. And then it ends with, you know, like you were saying, Jason, that very point blank, you know, there is the dark side of the Force and the light, you know, something, I don't know. There's like this, I don't know. Crap. I got nothing. Joe, help me out here.
No, I agree with you. It definitely seems larger scale than anything else we've been seeing. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Cause I honestly am still not really sure about where they're going with Rebels in terms of the overarching story. But, this definitely feels like, okay, this is a big deal, that even though we're not seeing too many different locations, like, we spent a lot of time on Tatooine. I'm pretty sure even, like, the stormtroopers were landing on Tatooine when the little ramp opened up. It looked like Tatooine to me. So even though we're not really super far across the galaxy in this one, this feels like it's going to be a big deal. Like, there's some big stuff coming, especially just the weight behind Max von Vigo the Carpathian's voice. I just think he's even though we're not really quite seeing it yet, and we don't really know where we're going with it, just the tone in his voice is like, this is, you guys better buckle up. Things going to get pretty hairy. So I agree.
Right. The other really interesting thing that struck me about the trailer is that it's all new characters, new actors. None of the returning actors were to be seen in this. I mean, obviously, we can assume that Han and Chewie were probably driving the Falcon at the end there, but we didn't see them, which I thought was interesting, because I speculated that we were going to get sort of a, you know, a nostalgic welcome back. Here's all your favorite heroes and characters, and here's a couple of new ones. That's what I thought the teaser was going to be, and I was totally wrong. So, pleasantly so, but we got John Boyega at the very beginning, Daisy Ridley flying a speeder across Tatooine. I think the X-Wing pilot is Oscar Isaacs, or whatever his name was. I think it's Oscar Isaacs. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Oscar Isaacs.
I think that's him. It's hard to tell inside the helmet. And then possibly Adam Driver is the Sithy guy. So, or Dominic Monaghan, or whatever his name is. That's not Dominic Monaghan. That's Lord of the Rings. Never mind. Totally wrong. Whatever.
Sean Bean. That scene, though, with the Sith, you know, igniting that broadsword lightsaber, it just made me think of a Game of Thrones episode. That's all I kept thinking.
But, I mean, we got all of the new characters, the new actors to the series, to the saga, and none of the returning characters were to be seen in this, which was different and not what I expected. What did you guys think about that?
It's funny you mention that. I was talking to my friend Paul about that earlier today, and he made the – I didn't even realize it because, you know, I watched the trailer. I loved it. I was freaking out. And he made the note of saying, you know, this doesn't have any of the characters that we know. I mean, the Stormtroopers are there, whatever. This doesn't have any of the characters that we're familiar with, and yet this still feels like Star Wars. So for this movie – to give that impression in the teaser without the big cast. I mean, really think about it. When they announced this movie, everybody wanted to hear if, you know, the original three were coming back, if the original characters were going to be in it. That was really all anybody cared about for a long time. And then, you know, they announced it and they made such a big deal about it and then kind of were like, oh, well, and then these other people are in the cast too. But for the newbies to, like, kind of get to be front and center in the teaser and for it to feel like Star Wars, for it to work, for it to be a good teaser, that speaks on how much they're doing right about this movie without even having those characters who find, you know, really bring it home and make it Star Wars. And it's already Star Wars without them. So I'm psyched out of my mind that they did this. I'm like you, Jason. I was really expecting to see all three of them and, you know, not really doing anything, but, you know, close-ups just to see what they look like or whatever, something. And I was shocked when we didn't get that, but I didn't miss them. Like, I'm okay with them not showing that yet because these guys, like, can act. Like, all of them, I mean, we really only saw three of them, but, like, all of them looked, and one of them was just, like, looking serious in an X-Wing cockpit, but, like, the guy in the Stormtrooper.
John Boyega.
Okay. That was awesome. Like, his, like, waking up in a panic or whatever it is he's doing, like, it was awesome. Like, it was a cool shot. It was very jarring. Like, what is going on right now? And, you know, I believed it. And it was... I'm really excited. Okay, I'm rambling now. I'm just very happy with this.
I'm going to go on a quick tangent here. One of my first thoughts when I saw Daisy Ridley taken off on the speeder across Tatooine, I was like, wow. She really looks like she should be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first thing that popped into my head. I was like, the way she looks, the way she's acting, she should be in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Oh, she is. Great. You know.
Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah. I saw her and I was just like, wow, I hope she's single. Joe, you described the speeder very well to me earlier. What'd you call it?
Oh, I can't take credit for it. It's a giant fudgicle. It's called Star Wars artist Jamie Snell posted a photoshopped image of her on a giant fudgicle, calling it the fudge cycle. I can't take it. So that's old Jamie Snell.
Okay,
but there's so many jokes running around about this trailer. There's that, and then of course the little roly droid.
Oh, the droid on a soccer ball.
You know, they see me rolling, they hating. I've seen that all over the place.
I haven't seen that.
Oh my gosh, it's great.
Joe and I both were talking about this earlier about the fact that when this trailer started, I honestly thought, I was like, oh, this is just another fan gimmick, because it was so, like, just odd, right? Like, this guy just pops into the screen.
Yeah, I thought it was another parody,
and I was just like, oh, this
nine parody
trailers. And then that droid too, I didn't take that droid seriously the first time I watched it. I was like, why is there a droid head on a soccer ball?
What is happening right now?
You know, and but as it, you know, sets in, it's like, nope, this is for real, finally. Because I've watched a lot of fakes in the last, like, 24 hours. But yeah, man, this was the perfect teaser. So I was at a comic shop earlier today, and I convinced the comic book shop owner to watch the trailer. She's like, oh, I haven't watched it yet. I'm not in any hurry. I was like, you need to watch it. So finally, like, he pulled out his phone and he watched it, and he goes, I don't feel like I get what the story's about. I'm like, it's a teaser. You're not supposed to. Like, and I, you know, you kind of mentioned this earlier, Joe. I don't think that's what's important. You know, this is merely a teaser to kind of just show you a little bit of what we've got so far. I don't think it's meant to be like, here's the some exposition of the story. And I think that's what's so cool is what this trailer kind of did for me anyway was it told me that Star Wars was back, and it had that, you know, that Star Wars feel to it. Even though these were all new characters we saw, it had that Star Wars feel to it, even though I knew nothing about it. And that's, again, what's so exciting about the future of these films is we have no idea where the story is going to take us. I mean, it's everything about it is new and foreign, yet all of these shots felt like Star Wars, except for one. There's one, the one shot that I felt like, and I'm not saying like it was bad or I didn't like it, but it didn't necessarily feel like Star Wars, was the shot with the guy, you know, who I assumed to be Adam Driver as the villain, you know, pulling out his broadsword lightsaber in those snowy woods. It just, that felt like Game of Thrones to me so much that I was like, this is weird. Like, this isn't Star Wars. I loved it, but it just, that was the only little scene that didn't feel like Star Wars to me. And I don't say that as in the sense of like, I didn't like it. I thought it was stupid or it was out of place. It just, that was the only thing that I was like, ooh, that's not really Star Wars.
My first thought when I saw that was Force Unleashed.
Oh, good point.
So,
I just want to see Luke.
You were going to say something, John. I interrupted.
No problem. I just wanted to make a quick point about Carl. You had mentioned the comic book shop owner saying that he didn't really get the story.
Yeah.
It's the problem I have with that mentality, especially for a teaser trailer, is that we're getting more and more used to trailers just telling us everything.
Yep.
And then you go to the movie and you feel like you saw all like the big surprises, like you saw everything coming, especially the shots that are like really, even though they're not spoiling anything, they're still putting a seed in your head of, oh, I didn't see this yet. When is that going to come? You know what I mean? So I feel like trailers just, they ruin so much. So I'm just really happy that for this, at least for the teaser, like, I you know, who knows, maybe trailer one, and if there's a second, like, full-length trailer, who knows, maybe I'll be eating my words later on, but I really like that for this, they pulled back and they didn't do that. They just wanted to wet our whistles, say, guys, don't worry, it's Star Wars, we promise, here's a little look, and here's one.
Yeah. The thing is I think for the most part, Star Wars does really good with their trailers. They'll give you a bunch of really cool shots without any context, and it's like, we showed you a whole bunch of stuff, but you have no idea what it means. And I feel like Star Wars tends to do that a lot, which I'm really happy with. And I agree. I think so many trailers are like, okay, here's the story. Plot points A, B, and C that have to conclude in this general area. Enjoy the movie in 5 months, you know. And I'm like, oh, why did you do that? I totally agree with you, Joe. So I'm glad the teaser here is just like, here's a few shots for you that don't really say much, but they're cool, and get the feel of Star Wars for you. So
I think there was only about, I mean, some of them had a couple of cuts, but I think there was only about 5 or 6 actual scenes shown. There really wasn't more than that.
Yeah, no, I mean, think about it. I mean, there's the opening shot with John Boyega, and then you have a random droid on a soccer ball. And then, you know, you got the Daisy Ridley shot, some X-Wings flying over some water.
Right.
The stormtrooper's about to get off the hangar, which, by the way, we're coming back to that scene because it blew my mind. And then you have
the Sith in the forest.
Yep, the Sith in Game of Thrones.
And then
the Falcon. That's it. You know, it's awesome. Also, so put that together, right? So that is essentially, that's 3 different environments. We have a desert environment, we have something with some water in it, and then a wintry forest. Yeah, that's it. Those are the 3 environments we get. Now, to comment on that real quick, again, who knows? Maybe there'll be a lot more environments that we're not being shown yet, which could make sense. It's a teaser a year ahead of time. But be that as it may, let's say that those are the only settings we have. I love that. This is, again, this is not me hating on the prequels, but something I didn't like specifically in episode 3 is the fact that we're jumping around so much. I never felt settled in any of the scenes because you're just like, oh, here's a new planet. Oh, now we're another planet. Oh, now here's another one. Whereas with like the OT, you know, everything, every place we go, we kind of get a sense of being settled there, and that setting becomes part of the story. that's really cool to see in this teaser is the fact that we might have one to three planets is, well, we're going to have at least three planets. And that's really it. You know, there's going to be a really set, solid story that we're going to get settled into here. And I think that's really cool. You know, I think it's really cool that we might have something that's, I don't know, just like very, very character driven. I don't know. That was my impression of these particular scenes. And now there's silence. Come on, guys.
Our minds are still blown from the trailer itself. So we're still trying to register.
I mean, I really don't have a lot of thoughts on that. I mean, cool. But I mean, I don't have too many thoughts on the number of locations or planets or whatever, other than we get desert, we get snow, we get water. That's great. But it's all kind of tweaked, right. So that's cool.
Right. So can we mention maybe like our favorite thing from the trailer real quick?
Sure.
Good, thanks. So
actually, no, we're ending the show now.
All right. Goodbye. So everybody, thanks for listening to the Wampa's Lore Podcast. Now, I loved that shot of the stormtroopers. First off, just the helmets are so cool. And, you know, since we've got him on the show, a quick shout out. Joe did a really quick print today of the new Stormtrooper helmet that looks awesome.
It looks great.
Yeah, we'll post it on the wall later. And, you know, Joe's awesome. He felt inspired, which this is why I love this guy, because he's like, you know what? I know I have to make money and do this other job, but I'm going to do this for a minute.
Really? Because I felt pretty irresponsible at the time.
That's what I love about you. but anyway, these stormtroopers just look awesome. And again, we don't know. You really don't know. Are these the villains or are they the good guys? Because there is a potential for both. And this particular shot to me really captured both an OT and a PT feel to me. One, it's the OT because they're stormtroopers, right? Like we only saw those in the OT. But as the transport bay door is going down for them to land, there's like this pristine look to the stormtroopers that felt very prequel to me, like Attack of the Clones almost, you know. So it was like the perfect wedding of these two feelings, but very practically. So I really loved that scene. I can't wait to see that scene unfold in the movie.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be cool. But I think I got the feel from the trailer that yes, there's going to be a lot of overt connections to the OT, but that they're giving due honor and respect to the PT stuff too. And I got that feeling from the trailer. Joe, what was your favorite moment?
It's really tough. I think the Falcon. Mm. I don't think that's going to surprise anyone. Honestly, there were a lot of really good ones. The troopers were really amazing. I like Darth Ned Stark, but yeah. the Falcon was just – that was the moment everybody screamed collectively.
That tracking shot was amazing.
Yeah, it really was. And what's funny is I was on a thread on Reddit today and just reading everybody's reactions to the trailer, and everybody was making the joke like, aha, J.J. Abrams, where are all the lens flares? Ha, 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 ha. And someone actually got a screenshot when the Falcon is like at the peak of that loop up high and it's like passing the sun. There's a really subtle lens flare, and posted a screenshot, and everybody just went ballistic. It's pretty funny. But yeah, that just, oh, that was as Star Wars as it gets. And I was telling Carl before, as I was watching it, like, we knew, you know, the Falcon isn't going to crash, but, like, as it's, like, just coming, like, out of the, you know, arcing up and just about to, like, miss the ground, I remember, like, bouncing up and down, being like, go, 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 go! Like, really getting into it, unlike getting into anything else. It's...
Well, and there's TIE fighters shooting at it. That's really interesting, right? Like, that's
TIE fighters.
Why are there TIE fighters still? Like,
we got TIE fighters in the Millennium Falcon. Oh my god, we got guys. guys, Star Wars is back. Do you realize this? That a new Star Wars movie is coming out, and we just saw part of it today. That happened today.
I keep pinching myself, and hoping I don't wake up. So, oh my gosh, the Millennium Falcon shot was amazing, But I sort of mentioned it earlier, but honestly, that little droid is just great. I love him. I love it. The design is great. The fact that the head just sort of sticks along the body, the little ball that it rolls along. I'm just curious to see what he does, what his function is.
Jason, do you want him, or do you think he's going to be, I don't want to say central, but do you think he's going to be like the new droids for these new guys, or do you think he's not going to leave his setting on Tatooine? How important do you want him to be?
I want him to be like R2's little buddy. I want him to be like, I don't want to say the new R2 because you can't replace R2, but I want him to be like Daisy Ridley's droid. Which, with the setting and everything, I wouldn't be surprised if he was. And so he goes with Daisy Ridley. Luke's got R2. Daisy's got this little beach ball droid, soccer ball droid. But, I mean, honestly, I think he's great. The idea that the head just sort of, like, is electromagnetically attached to the ball because it didn't look like there was any bearings or anything, that was cool to me. Because it's something different that we've seen and haven't seen in Android. And honestly, you know, everybody knows this. I'm a sucker for crazy new droids. The Stormtroopers were cool, but I've never been, like, big into Stormtroopers and Clone Troopers. I know, shock, don't beat me with sticks, people, or broadsword lightsabers. But, yeah, I think the Millennium Falcon and the new little droid were probably my favorite parts of the trailer. So,
what was that?
That was my squeak of excitement.
Wow. I thought it might have been the sound that the new droid makes.
Jason's privy to that sound alone.
Oh, man. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up? Because I think we've touched on just about everything we need to.
Right. I think my final thoughts are just, again, with that dialogue crossover is, again, it just sounds like this is going to be tapping into that kind of supernatural, mystical Star Wars once again. Right before we recorded this, Joe and I were watching The Empire Strikes Back together. And, you know, we were both commenting during the Dagobah scenes, just, you know, how great it is. There's so much depth to these scenes. And I think that we're finally going to get that really incredible depth to Star Wars once again. And I don't mean that, again, I do not mean that as a slam on the prequels. I love the prequels. But the prequels, to me, are far more action-oriented than anything else. And that was one of my sad points of the prequels, is it kind of missed out on that mystical element of Star Wars. And I think that we're really going to get that back. Both the title indicates that, and even this voiceover. Something's going to happen that really shakes up the Force. And I'm just really interested to see how all these different characters are somehow involved in that scenario.
Joe?
I have more advice than anything, because I basically already said everything I feel about the trailer. I'm just deliriously happy and excited about it. I think it's well known that I am a critical thinker when it comes to the Star Wars galaxy. I don't think that's any surprise to anybody. In this instance, I'm very excited. I don't really have a whole lot of negative to say about it, but I'm seeing a lot of people that are. Like really kind of slamming on it and not super thrilled with everything they've seen. Coming from someone who looks at a lot of really everything with a critical eye and you know, give it a chance. Like, and it's funny that I'm saying that, and I realize that it's almost hypocritical for me to say that because I get so worked up and I can fly off the handle about little things. But if you're a Star Wars fan, don't go into this expecting the original trilogy. Go into it expecting new Star Wars, different Star Wars, because it's different people at the helm, and they're paying homage to, you know, to Star Wars, but it's going to be its own thing. It's going to be a separate entity, even though it's going to feel like Star Wars. It's not going to be the Star Wars you already experienced. So, and that, if you can, let's go ahead.
No, I was just, and that's a good thing. Right.
Yeah, like, no.
I think one of the weakest 100%. Points of the prequels and even sometimes in the Clone Wars series is when there was like kind of these forced nods to the OG.
Right.
It's like you don't need to do that.
Agreed,
like,
just 100%.
Tell me a good story. And I think, you know, J.J. Abrams, when from the outset, he was very clear of like, I want to recapture that feeling of Star Wars. And you can do that without having to be like, oh, remember this, remember that. Hey, look at, there's Greedo. Hey, there's, you know, Bossk. You know, like, you don't have to throw in random stuff for it to be Star Wars. It can still feel like Star Wars. Star Wars has a feeling. And if you can capture that, you've done a great job. Tell us any story you want.
Yeah, man. What about you, Jim? Exactly.
I'm going to give a little bit of advice as well. Just enjoy this. Don't formulate too many opinions off of this trailer, because we had 7 shots without any context, folks. Just give things a chance and let the trailer breathe and let Lucasfilm breathe, because we're probably not going to get something big until April with Celebration Anaheim. That'll probably be the next thing we get, some next time we get something with this. So let things breathe. You breathe yourself, and don't formulate too many solid opinions or too many criticisms on things on 7 shots that had no context. It's great. It feels Star Warsy to me, but just like Joe said, give it a chance. So, and I think that'll wrap up this episode. Carl, how can people get in touch with us if they want to follow along and discuss this with us?
They can do that on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslairpodcast. On Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslair, or feel free to send us an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com.
And Joe, how can people get in touch with you?
They can probably just go to the Wampa's Lair Facebook page. I'm usually there leaving obnoxious comments. They can just send me a message from there. I have a DeviantArt page. It's joehoganart.deviantart.com. If you're interested in commissioning me, by all means, I'm always available. Especially now would be a perfect time for any holiday gifts. If you'd like me to be able to do that for you, now is the time, since I can get it done in time for the holidays. And you can send me an email at joewtfhogan@gmail.com. And guys, real quick, I just wanted to thank you for having me. As always, it's always an absolute blast to be here. And I'm glad I could geek out about this with you guys first, before anybody else, before I talk to anybody else about this.
we're glad you were here.
That's a first.
That's the truth.
All right, and I think that wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. But episode number 111, There Is an Awakening, I think that's the title. As always, thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. For Carl and Joe, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?